Hello, and welcome to this podcast from Consider This. Please let me know what you think and tell others about us on social media. This podcast was originally broadcast live on Northumberland 89.7 FM. You can hear this show live every Friday at noon. Thank you for downloading this program, and I hope you enjoy it. Hello and welcome back. This is Consider This Northumberland, and I'm your host, Robert Washburn, and you're listening to Northumberland 89.7 FM. Despite the pandemic, it was a busy year for Port Hope Council. Mayor Bob Sanderson is quick to outline the various challenges and successes. He points to plans for a new senior center. Then there is the ongoing remediation project chugging along. But there are also some hurdles. A member of council was subject to an investigation by the Integrity Commissioner. And the town is trying to tackle economic development plus affordable housing. Here is Mayor Bob Sanderson. Port Hope Mayor Bob Sanderson, welcome back to Consider This.
Thank you, Robert. It's a pleasure to see you, and we're already well into 2022.
I'd like to start by asking you, if you were to characterize the past year at Port Hope Council, how would you describe it?
Well, it's interesting. I probably would describe it as, you know, a challenge for sure, but a challenge that we met very successfully. And I think out of that challenge, I feel we've gained strength. I think we've grown together as a community. I think we've worked together as council very well in support of the community. That is evident in our budget. And I think we've got a very good consolidated senior management team. The outcome of which to me is, you know, this is all a team effort, and it's not just council and it's not just staff, it's our residents. I would say Port Hope is at a good spot. Yeah.
You said earlier that you faced a challenge. Can you describe what you see as the challenges that you faced over the past year?
Well, I think the challenges of being in municipal office and for council, you know, is always there. Look, meeting the needs of the residents, responding to the service requirements. And I think the challenge really has been the fact that COVID has been a complicating factor and has had an impact, not on Port Hope, but I would honestly say it's been everywhere. So
I'd like to start by talking about the budget. Council approved a 4.2% increase in its town budget. Now, some say that is pretty high compared to other municipal budgets this year. What are taxpayers getting that justifies such an increase?
Well, first off, let me comment on inflation generally. So when you look at that increase in a budget, it's delivering a lot of value, you know, within that. It looks like inflation is running, you know, 4.5 to 5%, which is historically high. And that's the regular inflation, you know, that we kind of measure. But when you look at municipal costs and services, that inflation rate is probably closer to, you know, maybe 9% or 9.5%. So any project you do, the costs are not sitting in the normal, you know, realm of things. What I really liked about our budget is that we did listen to kind of our residents in many cases. I would also comment that our budget this year, regardless of what the level is at, was a unanimously supported budget by all of councillors. And we took that as an agenda. We wanted to make sure that, and certainly as leading that process to some degree, that this was a budget that everybody was okay with. Everybody had to give and take a little bit, you know, here and there. And so the priorities of council became unified. A couple of kind of unique areas that did come out of it. Certainly the service levels are good, but as an example, Rose Glen Road, you know, council shifted the priority over to Rose Glen from Victoria Street. Victoria Street was infrastructure, you know, and so is Rose Glen Road, but there's more safety concerns on Rose Glen Road for pedestrians. Also, I think the action, you know, for creating a climate action plan was pretty positive, you know, from our perspective. When we do the budget, and I've always said this, if your budget doesn't support your strategic plan, you know, then you don't have a good budget. our budget is very supportive of our strategic goals, and the strategic plan to me is a long-term view of where this municipality's going. It's not a one-year plan. It's not one of this council and the next council will change it. It's a living document. So I think across the board, you know, and I think we have put out some information on the budget itself as to what it's delivering, but I think 4.2 came in extremely well and is delivering above its weight, I guess, if you want to really put it that way. And I think the strategic priorities and the way staff is organizing, I would defend that budget to anybody and look anybody in the eye and say, you're getting really good value here.
In the budget, there is an allocation for a new senior center. Now, why is the town putting aside $1.3 million towards this? What is so important about doing that project right now?
Well, that project has been a priority as long as I've been in office, and we had trouble getting, you know, government funding for it. It started with the Ruth Clark Center, which is a, you know, older building down by the railroad track, down by the river. And our senior citizens have been using it for their social activities, and, you know, our staff sort of maintains it, what have you. And it's been very deficient for an extended period of time. So last year we were finally successful, and it doesn't just happen, by the way. You know, I can show you letters and communications to ministers that are moving up the ladder, both in the provincial and federal area, to get the funding. In fact, it's later than it should be, probably by at least 1 or 2 years, because the funding was a little bit slow in coming. The provincial funding was identified earlier than the federal, but we can't do anything until both, you know, identify it as a project. The amount of budget we have against that building is probably going to be less than what we need. And we know that because it's been delayed. As I said, the construction costs are going up about 9%. So our plan, our budget, our submission technically is a little bit out of date. Internally, when we discuss it, because it's a you know, kind of multi-generational component we're adding to the rec center, it's not just, you know, a senior center, then, you know, we decided clearly we're going to forge ahead with the plan we have. And if the budget is a little bit light, you know, in the end, we're not going to like shrink the building or cut corners or do that sort of thing. It's probably one of the more exciting projects from my perspective. It really builds on community value. And I think it also clearly identifies that as we move forward, the need's going to increase, not decrease. I also think the location is extremely good. We can have transit there and what have you. That was a controversial area within seniors. Probably half the seniors wanted to stay where they were and half wanted to move. Probably all of them didn't really want to go where we're going to put it, but that's Port Hope at its finest.
In your press release for the budget, you point towards investments in affordable housing. Can you describe this initiative and how it's going to help resolve the issue around affordable housing in Port Hope?
Well, yeah, I guess a couple of things in affordable housing. First off, municipalities don't generally get involved with it. That's a kind of a county jurisdiction. We decided that we needed to be stronger advocates of affordable housing in the municipality itself. We put some funding behind it, and there's some discussions that we're having now that I can't honestly share with you, but we fully hope and expect that we can, you know, actually contribute, you know, to get affordable housing, you know, within the municipality. So two things it achieves. One, which is reality, can we assist in doing that? And secondly, it makes it loud and clear that this is a priority, even within the county, to the provincial government, et cetera. So it's early stages for our involvement. And I don't know that we will be building affordable housing from a municipal perspective, but I certainly think that the strategic direction and certainly the focus on affordable housing is very high, probably in our top three.
Well, you do sit at the county council table though. And I know we're talking about local and county, but what are you doing at the county level as an advocate to get more affordable housing into Port Hope?
Well, you know, again, I think it's not just Port Hope, it's a county issue. the county has very strong social programs. I believe, in fact, have a lot of affordable housing. So they know that we'd like a focus on Port Hope, and certainly from a land acquisition and attention, Port Hope probably has a bit of a priority, and the county will continue. And when we want to do something, we will be working closely with the county and the Northumberland Housing Commission. So early a little bit for us to be stepping up from a municipal perspective. But as I said, it does two things. It focuses on the fact that we do recognize that we need to be involved, that it's a priority, and we are functionally having some budget to move it forward. Some of it also in our, we're doing a zoning review, right? And in that zoning review, that's a key component. How can we expand the ability for people to have apartments or second suites, that sort of stuff. So it's not just building houses, or building condos or apartments. It's working with developers. It's trying to make the zoning applicable so we can do it. So there's a lot of things I think go on with it. I'm happy we have some budget on it, because as I said, we're not going to build with that budget, but by the same token, it does allow us to kind of focus on affordable housing as a priority.
Back in September of last year, there was a report from the Integrity Commissioner to Council regarding the behavior of one of the councillors on social media towards a resident. Could you briefly describe what was alleged to have happened and what lessons council members took from this incident in regards to their participation on social media?
I probably can't answer that because, that's an independent process with an Integrity Commissioner. Anybody can bring sort of anything forward. And I guess I speak for a lot of elected officials. It very often is a one-way street, right? So somebody might get upset with the counselor, might have an agenda, might not like something about them. They can fully come forward to an Integrity Commissioner. The Integrity Commissioner, which is a legislative requirement in which we have gone through that process, allows any member of the public or another member of council, to bring facts forward and make an independent consultation and decision about whether the complaints are valid or not. And that report does come to council, did come to council, and the Integrity Commissioner clearly identified there was absolutely no wrongdoing, nothing at all. Now, I think that's hard on any councillor, at any point in time, but obviously we're very happy, that was the outcome, but it had nothing to do with me as mayor. It had nothing to do with any of the other councillors. It's strictly between the resident going to the Integrity Commissioner, which is absolutely okay. And then the Integrity Commissioner, checking all the requirements. And as I said, they can do two things. They can kind of say it's frivolous and not spend a lot of money on it right away, or they delve into it, and have a good look. And in this case, of course, we did get a report from the Integrity Commissioner that clearly indicated this was not something that needed to come forward. The danger always, I don't go on social media quite a bit for a couple of reasons. First off, I really don't have time. But the other part is, I think it can influence you, as if you have a lot of people complaining about me as mayor or saying I'm doing this or doing that, the tendency is two things. One is to weigh in, maybe, kind of defend yourself or say something. And the other is just to kind of, be hurt, quite frankly. And I think the social media needs to have some responsibility too. I also feel that from what I heard from social media generally was that there's a lot of support. And having council and even myself, other counselors, as kind of in the social area where there can be comment, positive or negative, has really, I've seen or heard that it's a lot better than it used to be. We're Port Hope's a little calmer. I think our residents are, and I, again, because I don't see it, I'm only giving you secondhand, but some residents come to the defense, of, counselors or staff or other components, and they don't like fuel the fire.
And I guess that was my question too, is you talk amongst yourselves as counselors. I mean, did it get anybody gun shy, or did counselors start to say to themselves, well, listen, this is maybe something we should be doing or not doing? I wanted to get a sense of, did it have some impact on how you engage with the community?
I can expand on that. Absolutely not. There wasn't even discussion that I'm aware of, you know, with counselors. I had none, right? And counselors don't they? I think my what I said earlier was probably what everybody feels. And I know other municipalities, other counselors, the county, everybody's subject to the whim of anybody on, you know, social media. Where it can go if it continues is, I don't know when it becomes harassment, right? I mean, it can be something that you as a counselor, or you know, you need some ability to respond, but I don't know anybody who kind of does it on social media. So somebody says something bad about one of our counselors, I'm not aware they kind of fire back. I think we take our hits and we know that's part of the job. As long as it doesn't transcend a certain level where it becomes either threat or harassment, we kind of find it better to just keep doing our job.
You mentioned it already, and I'd like to go back to it, is the remediation project. Yeah. Give us an update as to where you are now with the remediation project. I noticed that at the end of this year, there's been some tinkering with your own internal structures as to how you're dealing with the remediation project. And as you said, it's a long-term agreement. So where are we at right now?
I'm glad you brought it up. And you're also kind of putting information out, there have been some significant changes. So I'll take it in two steps. First off, there's been a lot accomplished by the remediation. So the Waterworks East, the West area, the West Beach, and it's called Waterworks, that has been totally remediated. And it was a very challenging project because of water levels and what have you. That should be returned to the municipality with a record of site. And the other one was where the Firefighters Museum was on Mill Street. That's a large property. And it's been totally remediated and now can also be returned to the municipality with a record of site. So there's been some major work done. The storage cells, the haul routes, you know, some of the other larger areas, we're getting our industrial sites cleaned up. So on the bigger picture, there's a lot being done. On the smaller picture, the small scale sites are kind of your backyard. That has been very challenging for them because the agreement of 20 years ago described levels that were required to be, you know, achieved in remediation. And one of them was arsenic. Arsenic was at 18 parts per million. Well, some of the background arsenic within municipalities is above that, 23 or so. So in some ways that was something that, well, I don't know even we can achieve it. And if we have to achieve it in your backyard, we might be there a year trying to keep digging and digging and digging until we, you know, finally say, okay, we chased it. They call it chasing arsenic, you know, long enough. And now we can, you know, get your property back to what, where you can use it. So the small scale sites have been very difficult, and CNL and AECL have made application to the federal government through the CNSC, which is the regulatory body, to see if that, those levels can be changed. The municipality has also recognized that if the current requirements have to be met, we could have an environmental impact that's strongly negative, i.e. we could lose up to 50,000 trees. That's the number that's been put out there. We don't want that. We don't think that's a good outcome, you know, for the viability and the health of a municipality. So we've been working on that a lot. And to your other point, there have been a lot of changes at CNL and AECL in the management teams. I think that's brought fresh blood, so to speak, you know, to the program. We have made modifications within the municipality, and I got to give credit to our staff and our CAO, David Smith. I'm involved in a lot of that, but you know, I don't kind of always make that decision. That comes about. We have changed significantly our municipal peer review team. So we had a team that was specifically dealing with CNL and AECL. They would give their reports, they would have their, you know, disputes and questions, and then it would come either to council or our staff. Now we've incorporated the whole process into our staff. So it's part of our business now, day to day. And I truly feel uncomfortable, and it's been 2 years of a lot of discussion, that now we're on a path where we have identified a joint goal. We negotiate well, not controversial. I mean, there are controversial things, but not antagonistic. And everybody's kind of find the best solution to a problem when it comes up. So I think the next year, and already, I'm seeing huge improvements in the consideration when we talk to CNL or AECL. When they talk to us, they're seeing a higher level of teamwork, I guess. So I think it's a very significant change. It's taken almost 2 years to get there. But that's how you learn, if you adapt. And it's a very important project. Quite frankly, we'd like them out of town as fast as we can get them out of town. And I think they kind of feel the same way, like, here's your hat and what's your hurry. But it really is at a good spot. And I say the people we're working with now, we have regular meetings, at least I do and David Smith does, with senior management. And it's such an improvement just in, kind of looking for solutions, mutual agreement, that kind of thing.
What can we expect from council in the upcoming year?
Well, I'm always surprised. So, but I really, given that first off, it is an election year. We all know that. And to me, it absolutely makes no difference. I think it's business as normal. They're necessary good and evil things, I suppose, about them. But I hope that the primary thing I hope is that we can get back together physically as council, because we miss that. All right, we don't have the same ability to have dialogue and relationships and interaction, as we can otherwise. So that would be one. Secondly, I expect the council will continue to be very focused on the community activities. They'll be very supportive of a few things we have in the hopper that are going to be coming out to the public and to really improve the municipality. And it's been a great council, Robert. It's been very cohesive, very community orientated, good dialogue, disputes, not bad ones, just, that's what you should be doing, is you challenge each other and some of the stuff that comes forward. So to answer that question, I expect to continue business as normal, but that business is very efficient, focused, and supportive of our strategic plan as we move forward. So I think we have a great council, and regardless of the election, I know we'll have another good council. So,
if there's one takeaway for you personally from the past year in council, what would it be?
Probably satisfaction that we're on the right path and that we're moving forward with the goals that are for the municipality. So I'm enjoying seeing this come to fruition. I don't know, maybe it's like building a boat, when you finally put the varnish on it, you kind of go, wow, that kind of thing. I think Port Hope's in a really good spot, and I'm really very supportive and very complimentary to our senior staff and our structure now, and the support and direction that council is giving. So I don't want to say it's an easy job, but I don't feel anything other than, good feelings and satisfaction how, things are in the municipality. There's so much different than 7 years ago. And people have commented on that as well. So I don't want to just put it into 1 year, because I'm glad we got through last year. I think it really has come out with a lot of good things. We are very more collaborative with the HBIA, with the chamber, with our businesses and our residents. Even though the doors are locked, I'm feeling we're kind of a more cohesive municipality, perhaps, than we were. So I don't know if that answers the question, because it's a hard thing to say. I always feel good, by the way. So, last year was in many ways such a good year. Yeah. And this year is going to be just crackerjack.
Are you planning to run in the upcoming municipal election?
I can't answer that for you, because I don't intend to even make that decision or think about it too much until, I need to. Right now, I'm very much focused on moving forward. This is 7 years now, and I kind of am, I guess, a little bit satisfied or proud know of where we've gone, knowing that I don't take all the credit for that, by the way, it just, but it does require leadership, and there's a lot of work that goes on behind the scenes. So I fully expect, regardless, that we have a good strategic plan, we have good senior management, and I think, you know, when things are really calm and fairly good, I do have a concern that we don't get the involvement from the public, you know, in an election, and it'll follow a provincial election. So I hope people really come forward and vote, knowing that it's important, and that it might be important to keep it this way or whatever. But it, I don't know, I probably said enough about the election.
Mayor Sanderson, thank you so much for talking to me today.
It's always a pleasure.
Thank you.
You do a great job, and the job that you and others do is very important, particularly now. So thank you.
That was Port Hope Mayor Bob Sanderson. I want to thank my guests this week for talking to me, and I want to thank all the listeners for tuning in today. Please join me again next week when we will talk to the people on the front lines and those behind the scenes who make a difference in your life and Northumberland County. So please tune in. If you would like to listen or share this or any podcast, please check out my website at consider-this.ca. There you will find past podcasts, news, and other information about life and politics in Northumberland County. Or you can go to the radio station's website at northumberland897.ca. I'm Robert Washburn. Thanks for taking time out of your day to listen in, and I hope over the week you will continue to consider this. Thank you for listening to this podcast from Consider This. If you have any comments or would like to suggest a story, please contact me at considerthisnorthumberland@gmail.com, or you can message me on Facebook at Consider This. If you enjoyed this podcast or are looking for more news and information about Northumberland County, please check out my website at consider-this.ca. That's consider-this.ca. And don't forget to share. And again, thank you for listening, and stay tuned for more from Consider This.